any Kevin Stefanski at any point is good Kevin Stefanski, I always say.
Is it, though?
Yeah. No, no, listen. Was that the audio we intended to play? No.
No.
But did immediately after, when Mac realized he was talking about
Andre
Schmidt.
Did he do his chest thing?
Yes, that's all we need on the show.
Okay, good.
If you just double tap your chest and let people know that was your bad, even if it's obvious, we're good.
Yeah, why does that just let everyone off the hook with us?
Because it's acknowledgement. You got to own it. Right? If you don't own it, then we're going to just massacre you on air. But if you own it, we're good.
It's like when my 2.5-year-old daughter asked me for more milk when she's had like 3 things of milk, but she says please at the end of it. I like instantly, I'm like, all right, yeah, that's great. We'll get it for you. Yeah,
it's that easy?
Yeah, that's it. It's that easy. But it's also that easy for Mac. He just points his hand to his chest, and then it's just like, oh, we're like, oh, yeah, well, it was his bad then.
You'll notice this as your kiddos get older. With my kids, just getting them to admit somebody was at fault or something they did wrong is such a Herculean challenge or at least it was when they were younger. Mm-hmm. That now when they're like, yeah, I totally did that, I'm like, all right, we're good now.
Okay.
You owned it. All right.
Now, nobody's perfect.
What are you going to do next?
Yeah, it's all. I mean, mistakes do happen.
I just think I would rather you say, I own that. Even if I know you were wrong, I'd rather you say it because then you take some ownership of it.
Sure. Yeah.
And we can foster those habits now. We're helping Mac grow as a human being just the same way I'm helping my daughters.
Yeah.
Right? We can do better. We will do better.
That's it. It's all you can try to do in life. Now, at some point, though, you know, we got to cut down the tapping on the chest to maybe like 3 times a day instead of 4.
Or we'll put you on outright waivers like Carlos Santana.
That's the sad part. We're all so nice about it until you all of a sudden just not on the team anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We're all like, oh, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, no worries about that. And then, before you know it.
Hey, where's Mac? What happened there?
Mm.
Or Jake, or anybody that works here.
You get the Goodfellas treatment, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's like, hey, well, what?
Well, okay, but the Goodfellas treatment is better than the, the casino treatment?
Well, the casino treatment's just all time. I mean, they buried him alive. I mean, that's just... Well,
after the brother thing,
I mean, that's a whole other thing.
That was cruel
more than
they
anything.
They made a point there.
I would much rather have the Goodfellas moment in that regard.
I'd rather just not be dead.
Well, yeah, if that's on the option, but if we're choosing between
my
A and B,
A
and B is you end up dead either way.
Goodfellas treatment,
I'm going to choose the Goodfellas treatment.
Or being alive, I will take the third.
Oh, really? Went on a limb on that one, didn't you?
My bad.
way to stick your you know what on the line there.
Listen, that's the only thing I stick on the line. Now, all this being said, Kevin Stefanski did confirm today. We didn't play the audio, but he did confirm today. That Dylan,
do we have the audio after all that lambasting?
No.
Or are we going to get another pat on the chest?
No.
He shakes his head and smiles.
Because I think he's over you. I've been very playful in this segment. You've been
a royal D.
He
shakes his head and smiles. The problem is that, you see, have we become too nice? Is that what's happened?
Have we? What's this we stuff, Kemosabe?
have we?
One of us is very nice. The other one is a problematic patty.
Hey, well, I don't know. I've been taught from certain shows around this part that the meaner you are, the more it gets people in line.
Well, look at that.
The more people they end up, they get them in line is what happens. And then maybe Mac would have had that clip.
I don't think that's worked for
Mac. Do you still have the clip?
I don't have the clip.
You still don't have the clip.
All right. Well, Kevin Stefanski said that Dylan Gabriel is the backup. I'll say, though, I think this begs the question of if Dylan Gabriel has to play early in the season, will he be ready? I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if Browns fans are asking themselves today, does this mean Dylan Gabriel is ready to start a game?
I don't think it's the worst thing in the world either. I'm very concerned about if he had to start a game in week 3, week 4, week 5. Now, again, maybe not much will change if it's week 8 or week 9, but yeah, very early on with this wide receiver core and the way this group is set up right now, I just don't think you're set up for success.
I have no concerns.
None?
None. No.
Well, hold on. Is the concern that he's going to look like he's drunk out of there on the field, or are we just talking about him just... Like my expectation, if he's on the field, is that, and what we should be trying to find out, is that whether or not you can think he can play a good game of football, essentially.
I have no concerns.
You think he's going to be good?
That's not what I said. I have no concerns. I where we are now is whatever will happen. Meaning that I don't think it's important that he looks good or looks bad. I think it's important that he gets the chance. So I know that there's been this fear mentality, this fear-based mentality of, well, you can't let him play in those first 6 games. It's the NFL. This isn't college. This isn't a quarterback. You're not juggling quarterbacks like Deion Sanders is with the kid from Liberty and the Nelson kid or the redshirt or the regular freshman. Nope, that's not this. This is the pros. And either your ass can go out there and get it done or it can't. This is a zero-sum game for me, the whole quarterback room.
But there's still the go out there and get it done part of that.
Well,
and
get it done means play.
Well, the playing isn't good enough. The result.
That's not playing. Good
enough. DTR, yeah. When he played, he played. But
do we not have a definitive answer on DTR?
Well, okay. Well, we can do that at any point with any quarterback then if we just throw him out there and say that's the mission and that's the job. Like, the question is whether or not you feel good about him being out there and starting, whether or not you feel good about him actually having a chance to succeed.
He's a rookie. Not whether you're never going to feel good until he plays and plays well.
Well, okay then. But it's
no amount of time is going to pass that's going to make you feel better.
No, it might. For certain rookies, it definitely might. It just doesn't with Dylan Gabriel. Because of everything that we've already seen with Dylan Gabriel. You know, Drake May sitting for that 4 or 5 weeks mattered to the Patriots to get him to a spot where he could be good. Yes, he's a rookie, but that little stretch there and having Jacoby Brissett in there mattered to the Patriots and what they were trying to do last year.
I mean, with the utmost love and respect for everybody involved here, I don't care if the situation's fair. I don't care if it's righteous. I don't care how easy it is or how hard it is. You drafted two guys with a butt-ton of college football experience, and a Joe Flacco injury isn't going to stop me from going to those guys. It's the NFL, when your number's called. And because here's the thing, it's with either one of these quarterbacks, it's not where you start. It's about over the time that you play, whether that's week one as starting from there, whether that's week five, week six, whatever it is, I just need to see growth. I don't expect competence the first time you step onto a football field, because to some level you have to admit there is an unfairness to the way this is going up. Okay. But then can you grow over time? And can you, if you look like you're really struggling to play the first time I see you, by the third time I see you, we look competent. Like that's, we put so much of a focal point on like on the start of this, when in reality, it's just important to start the clock with either one of these guys because they've played a butt ton of football. Like just get them out there and see if you can grow either into something. So is he ready? I would be surprised if he was Tua Tagovailoa in his first start, but do I expect competency? Well, that's why you're the backup. That's your job. And if you don't do that, well, I'm going to look at Stefanski and Barry.
Okay, because the way I see it is that what they're telling you with getting rid of Kenny Pickett is that they do have trust that he'll look more than just being a fact-finding mission, and that Dylan Gabriel, if you need him, week three, week four, week five, should be able to take the baton and be able to run with it.
Yep.
That's what they're telling you. And like we have to be able to hold them to that accountability. And really, it's such a unique situation, too, because not only are they telling us that Dylan can do that, they're telling us that he can do it better than Shador. So there's multiple layers to the idea that Dylan has to be more than just, well, we threw him out there because we wanted to see what he could do, and whatever happens, happens.
No, I mean, you've entrusted him with this position. This is why you allowed him to fail in the preseason and in camp. And when I say fail, I don't mean like he looked good in the last preseason game. But when you put him out there in preseason game number two, it wasn't that good, right? It was fine, I believe, is the nicest way we've put it. An interception and the fumble, both of which I think were on him. So, like, okay, if you go out there for the first time, like, listen, there's no way Stefanski or Barry can definitively tell you that when Dylan Gabriel starts a game, he's actually going to be ready to start a game. That's not the bet they're making. Their bet they're making is, can you stay at a level of competency that you're not losing confidence, and maybe where over time we can build confidence and maybe build something with you? And the reality is the second that you moved on from Kenny Pickett, you told me whether it's week one, week five, or week 10, that's where we are.
All right, but that does describe more of the idea that the only time they'll start to see the field is when Joe Flacco has taken the Browns out of the playoffs and out of any contention for this year.
I mean, I'm not trying to be like a nitpicker here, but I mean, unless of injury.
Yeah, and that's part of it too. The injury part it's part of this equation, and that is part of what happened. Like the only thing I ever thought about with Kenny Pickett and why they would have kept him early on is if they didn't believe that in week two or week three, they just thought it was too early and they had to keep Kenny Pickett to make sure that you could at least tell the locker room we're still trying to win.
Yeah, I mean, I think the locker room saw a guy in Dylan Gabriel who they gave chances to win the backup job, and by Kevin Stefanski's belief in him, he did.
I mean, I don't know. We don't know what the locker room thinks of Dylan Gabriel. I'd be surprised if the locker room is over the moon with the prospect of Dylan Gabriel, but maybe they are.
We
haven't heard from them the same way we heard about the support for Shador.
I think the locker room is always very kind and fair when they talk to the media. I think guys behind the scenes are always far more critical, and there's far more division than we ever give it credit. Yes, even in winning situations, 53 guys are very rarely ever on the same roster. But I think it matters more. All right, do you give the right guy the first crack at it? Then who gets the first crack at it if the first guy gets hurt? I word saladed you there. But what I mean is, you've already done the most important thing, which is give Joe Flacco the week one nod. What happens after that, I don't think, because you're going to be in the season, if it's because of injury, this is different than when you let Dylan take over for Joe.
Mm-hmm.
If it's because of injuries, they're going to do what I've seen every team do, that if they're as good as some people think they might be, a 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 win team, they're going to rally around that quarterback. Almost, actually, I think it's easier for Dylan if Joe were to get hurt and Dylan has to go in there, because I think players view that differently than if at some point 6 games into the season you're 1-5 and they go, it's Dylan's time now. I think he has less to prove in an injury situation than the situation where you're anointed as the next up guy.
Oh, it might be easier from that perspective too, just because then you can look at it like he's a true backup quarterback being told to win games, across the NFL. If Patrick Mahomes gets injured, it's not like the Chiefs are like, oh, we're still going to the playoffs and expecting great things. You can have moments where you still think you'll be all right, but if your starting quarterback goes down, you're up a creek.
But I'm low key excited. Cool. I don't have to watch a guy that I didn't believe in on any level start a game for the Browns this year.
Sure.
They clearly believe in Dylan in a way that certainly goes past my belief in the young man.
I'm excited to see what they see in him, for sure.
I'm excited to the idea that I could be wrong, that I think he's a career backup. Go out there and prove it. And oh, by the way, I'm not the other part of this that I just think is so important is, while in the moment I will be an emotional Browns fan about all of this, as everyone will, because that's where we are and we do want to see our team do well, and it doesn't make it any easier if they don't, I'm just here for the result. And I hope the result is good. If the result is bad, well, I need an answer. And anything short of somebody trending towards being a franchise quarterback is the answer. That's all I need here. If one of these two guys trends towards being a quarterback, or in fairness, if Joe plays so well that you're in the playoff hunt for most of the season, these are the good things that can happen. Mm-hmm. A definitive answer on one or both of the young quarterbacks, if they're either not trending towards being a franchise quarterback, or they are, or Joe takes the reins and he plays 17 games, 18 weeks, and just kind of shocks us all, and they're in the playoffs, yeah. Let's one of those outcomes to me is the most, and by the way, that encompasses a wide swath of potential outcomes this year.
And that's it. We just have so many different areas that it's like a choose your own adventure when it comes to these conversations.
But with that, the difference between that some of the scenarios I just mentioned could be them being a 3-win team. Some of them,
right,
could have them be a 9-win team.
Do we want to name all the amount of wins that they could have this year?
You could have one.
It can be a 7-win team.
Yeah,
you could be a 5-win team.
Listen, people aren't going to say it, but I'll say it. You could be a 6-win team.
You could be a 4-win team, too. I don't know.
Has
anyone brought up the 3-win Nick or 3-win Wilson?
3-win Nick sounds different. I think 3-win Wilson sounds a little more fun.
I love that fan is trying to brand you with stuff, though. I like this. It's a good development.
I don't hate it. And I also like that he definitely didn't take the bait. That I just continue to try to lay down.
He wanted absolutely none of it.
That's fair.
Which is funny, because I totally took the bait.
You were yelling at him, and he's like, we're not going to do this.
You got me mad at him. I got all riled up once again. I'm like, and then no, he didn't want it.
216-474-0092. Do you think Dylan Gabriel is ready to start a game? We got some calls on this, and we'll put the prediction on it in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Yeah, you can't do the London game.
It just feels unfair.
He started his first game in London.
I mean, it's not. He won't hear the boos.
We saw that went for. Well, I mean, that's a good point. We won't hear the boos. Yeah. I thought of Deshaun Kizer. The last time we played in London, it was Deshaun Kizer, and he was just awful. But he had the whole start all year, and he was just awful. He was awful in London. He was awful in Cleveland. He was awful just about everywhere.
So I do think Joe has 6 games, but I think it's absolutely predicated on what's the record. So this is the crazy hot scale.
Okay.
What's the record, and what quality of Joe are you getting on any given week?
I think he's going to look just good enough to be able to hang on to this thing for a little bit. I don't know that the wins and losses will be there. That's why I think we take this thing into the bye. I also, like, if it's me, I want to see the two rookie quarterbacks. Jimmy Haslam wants to see the two rookie quarterbacks too, though. That's the only hang up I would have in saying after the bye, because it just doesn't give these guys enough time to see both of them.
But this is actually kind of where I flip it back to you, is Jimmy might, but there, this is another... the crazy hot scale of what Jimmy wants and what Kevin needs, and specifically Kevin's ability to make sure that he's going to stick here long term, I think really truly does matter. Like that to me is the toughest thing about saying it's wholly predicated on Joe in wins and losses, is there is a part of me that wonders, will Kevin be extra stingy in keeping Joe in there? As much as he might like Dylan Gabriel, but I think he understands what some of the locker room, it's going to be harder to keep this thing on the rails with Dylan Gabriel just for some of those guys in that locker room.
I mean, he might just be waiting on the bat call, though. You know, like, I mean, there's a lot of this season that I wonder is just predicated. We talk about Stefanski, we talk about Barry all the time, but it might just be, when does Jimmy want to see these guys?
216-474-0092. Do you think Dylan Gabriel is ready to start a game and win? Do you think his first start will be? I think the earliest I can see him starting is week 7, because I do think, one, I think they're going to be, I think if they have any chance of being competitive, I think it starts early in the season. And two, I do think that weird push and pull of what Kevin needs, his future in Cleveland, what Jimmy wants, and how good does Joe look and how many wins and losses do you have? Let's go with Cool Ray in Bedford. Cool Ray, what's up, buddy?
Yo, Cool Ray.
It's not very cool, Ray.
That's no.
I think it's like the third time we've had phone issues this week. Am I correct on that?
Is it phone issues or is Cool Ray just shocked we actually went to him?
I think he might be shocked.
Because the man just stays on hold for like 2 hours at a
cool
time.
Cool Ray, call back,
like,
buddy.
I'm sorry, man.
Should we go with Chuck as well just to see?
Yeah, let's see what happens.
Chuck, we're burning through calls here. Chuck, are you there?
Hey, yeah, I'm here.
Hey, we got Chuck there. Hey, welcome to the show. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you think Dylan Gabriel is ready to start a game?
I don't know about starting, but hopefully he can hold his backup job down. I don't know, you know.
All right. Okay.
I was going to ask you guys, what's the difference in practice now with these reps? How do they divide these reps up now to the third string guy?
They don't.
He gets scout teamwork now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Joe will get, I'm assuming, all of the reps. Any reps Joe doesn't get, Dylan will get, and then maybe scout team reps for Shador.
Yeah, so the cool thing with Shador, there's good and a bad part of that, right? Like, obviously, you're not studying the Browns game plan. You're studying to try to be, like, in week one, you're trying to beat Joe Burrow to the best of your ability.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cool role if you're, like, not trying to actually be a starter in the NFL and just want to just get paychecks and hang out for a little bit.
And you're not playing within your offense because you're trying to mimic what they're trying to
do. And that's the part that a lot of people look at the scout team and is like, well, that really sets you back because you're not focused on the Browns game plan at all. They make you focus on what the Bengals do best and what the Ravens do best.
I don't know that the Browns are going to be honest about this because I don't know that it helps them to do that. There's still a part of me that wonders, do you cheat the margins a little bit with Joe and maybe come up with some reps during practice throughout the week, at least for Dylan Gabriel? I don't know they'll do that for Shador because I think they're so out of it. But, all right, maybe it's more of a 75-25 split because Joe is a professional and he doesn't, quote-unquote, need all the reps.
Yeah, typically you get like 85 to 90%. It's a good question because – and the reason why I would say they would be smart to do so is because how many reps does Joe need? But Joe's publicly made the case that he wants these reps. He cares about these reps. And so I would imagine he's just going to steal all them the way that all these quarterbacks end up doing it.
Let's go with Thomas in Shaker Heights. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Thomas, what's up, man?
How you guys? Hey, congratulations, JP, by the way. I love to hear that. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Congratulating him on there? Because people might not know.
I heard 6 weeks ago that from Ken Cartman that he's having a baby.
That's a good joke there. That's a well done.
Yeah, that was good.
Well done.
That was good. My wife, she texted me. She's like, wait, Ken broke the news? And I'm like, I
did not mean to put Ken in that position.
Because she went back and listened to Odyssey Rewind. She got a text from someone she used to work with being like, heard on the radio, congratulations. She's like, Went back and listened. Wait, Ken broke
this is,
the news?
This is always
I'm like, I know, I'm
real
sorry.
Quick,
I don't
Thomas,
know to
we're going to get to you in a second. This is always how. This is what happens with my big mouth, is I think I'm
I
saying
no
something
idea.
that is common knowledge. And now your beautiful wife, Elise, who is 8 months pregnant, is going to drive to Streetsboro and track
no,
down Ken Carmen.
No, she won't.
I need 100
I throw Ken off
men.
The scent here. Yeah. Good job there, JP.
Yeah, that's no, she won't.
If he ends up in a, you know, if he ends up in a bad situation soon, we're going
to
know what happened.
Well, it's funny because she's asked me every day for like 6 weeks or so to be like, so when are you guys going to do it on the air? When are you announcing it on the air? And I'm like, well, it'll come up when it comes up. It's not really, you know, it's fine. It'll happen when it happens. And then to find out Ken did it 6 weeks ago, and I had zero clue. That's new.
So, Thomas, when do you think Dylan Gabriel's ready to start a game?
I think he's more ready to start a game than Shedeur Sanders for sure. You know, at the end of the day, you got to look at the fact. I don't think Dylan Gabriel is going to have a better long term career than Shedeur. But you know, he played in big time college football games. He played in more college football games.
Ah, he was on such a good one.
Games and better competition.
Oh, yep,
can't
Thomas,
do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Man, he was
three.
On such a roll, too. He had the good, the funny Ken bit.
And the Ken bit
you
was
could
good.
Tell he had a good, he was choosing Dylan over Shedeur, which feels like, am I right to say that's a little bit of a turn for Thomas?
Honestly, I don't remember.
I could have swore Thomas was also very much on Shedeur, and I will, there is something that does strike me as very, very funny. That we went from like first week, there were people like, Shador's the guy, what are we even doing here?
Mm-hmm.
To then the second week, well, okay, Shedeur wasn't great, but he was better than Dylan, and Dylan had those two turnovers, and we can't excuse those. To Dylan at a touchdown, what are we even having this conversation for?
Thomas is, you know, he DMs me sometimes after his phone calls. It's kind of like he does like a recap of his phone calls, which is really funny to me. Last one I have is, yeah, I think he should play this season, just not week one, maybe week six or seven.
Is that Dylan Gabriel?
I'm assuming that's Dylan Gabriel.
Mm. All right. Well, we really...
If Thomas's thoughts have not changed,
that's
is
right.
Thomas a flip-flopper? Not that I've never known him
He's
to be.
He's no John Fanta, you know? I might
Ooh.
Be three-win Wilson.
Ooh. Shots,
but I'm
at,
no,
shots at Fanta.
I'm no flip-flop Fanta.
Ooh. You guys are special.
Mm. Ooh, Johnny's coming after you.
Had to say it. I actually think one of, and you're not going to want to hear this as a Browns fan, but I think one of the most interesting things is it Dylan's week? Is it Joe's week? And David on Twitter saying, what do you do if Joe is 4-4 going into the bye? Schedule gets easier.
No, if he's 4-4, he keeps the job.
Yeah. Now, I think what's interesting is, all right, 3-5, he probably does. 2-6 becomes really interesting. If we go into the first 8 weeks of the season, and the bye is perfect. Like, for the idea of you want to start a third-round rookie if you didn't only have two rookies, the bye is perfectly placed, middle of the season, smack yeah. dab there. The toughest part of the season is over because you kind of get that up front. It would be after the first 8 games of the season. But yeah, I think Joe has to be, or it, maybe you're 4-4, but you've lost the last 4 games.
That's another tough way to do it. But
like
that means
if you
start
on a schneid, that's that, like I do think Joe losing
and that is
two straight games is a threat to Joe.
But that is possible with Joe to come out of the gate and actually just be on fire, and you win the first four, and then him come back down to earth. That's definitely in play.
That we should probably say this to me, the one thing I can expect is that it's going to be the most up and down, herky jerky season for narratives in like Browns history. Because, and this is saying something after last year, we started playoffs and we ended with, are you going to have the number one pick? But I mean, I think if Joe starts fast, you're going to get a lot of people saying the Browns are right. You're all fools. John Fantas is going to talk about, I said 8 wins, not 6 wins mm-hmm. as a prediction. And that could go in the tank in October.
Yeah,
and then you could get one of the rookies in. There's a nice bit of play. We told you Dylan Gabriel, and then he could hit the tank as well, or vice versa.
Here's what's really nice, and the Browns have got themselves in a good situation that I didn't know was possible about a month ago. No one's going to be saying, I need to see Dylan Gabriel play. And after Shedeur and what happened in game three, there'll be Shedeur people that want to see him play, but it's not going to be at the same rate that it was after game one. Like, they really do have a Joe Flacco runway that I don't know that they previously had.
Yeah, until they lose two straight games.
Well, I mean, obviously it's always coming. Like, it's always going to end up getting us to that conversation. If we were on YouTube Live right now, that would not be good for you. That would
Why?
Not be good for me.
I just looked at you.
Oh, come on.
I was listening intently.
After I said what?
I don't remember. Do you think Dylan Gabriel is ready to start a game? We'll ask that of Lance Reisland, Coach Riz, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.